This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
8 minutes past five on your Tuesday drive show with Jono. Flying solo this afternoon through until 7 o'clock, but I've got a whole heap of guests to join me in the studio. And this next man is someone I've been trying to get on my show for months, and other shows keep stealing him, but he's finally here, Mr. Hayden T. Welcome to Joy 94.9.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Again. Again. I've had to join the queue to get you on, to get you on board, I think. But hey, one of the reasons I wanted you, obviously you're an actor and you're a singer and you're a superstar around Melbourne at the moment, but you're also a Kiwi.
Yeah, kia ora, bro.
Yeah, and the thing that I find quite amusing is you're from Mangatūroto. Now, I think most people on the listening to the show wouldn't even know how to pronounce that name, but I'm going to challenge you. Do you remember how to spell it?
Mangatūroto.
Well done.
Boom.
There you go. Hey, look, they say you can take the boy out of rural New Zealand, but you can't take the rural boy. You can't take the rural out of the boy, or something like that.
Oh.
So I'm just wondering, because it's probably been a long time since you left Mangatūroto, but what sort of one trait would people say, oh God, he's such a country boy because he does this or that?
Oh God, no, it's definitely not milking a cow. I forgot how to do that a while ago. I think I am still a country boy at heart. I was talking about this the other night. It's weird because I come from a little village of 800 people where everybody knows your name and who you are. You walk along the street, everyone knows everybody. And I've kind of seem to be spending my life going around the world trying to make everybody know who I am again. It's weird. Not that I do it for fame or anything, but you know what I mean? It's bizarre. Well, trying to turn Melbourne into my little country town.
Well, here in Melbourne, your face is on billboards. It's probably not in Mangatūroto, is it?
It's not, no. Well, there aren't billboards in Mangatūroto. Right. There's a mural on the public toilet in town.
Okay.
But not my face.
Hey, look, you obviously decided you wanted to get into the cabaret and theatre side of things. When did you decide or discover you had a good singing voice? Like, were you naturally good at singing, or did you have to go and learn?
Not at all. When I was 14, I went to a singing teacher in Whangarei in New Zealand, and she said, if you work really, really, really hard, you could have an okay voice and get into the chorus of amateur musical theatre. And I went, F you, lady. And Alison Sargent was her name.
Okay.
And, condemn her. And then I went to a different singing teacher, and just to prove her wrong, and a year later, went back to the Northland singing competitions at the age of 15 or something then, and got 5 firsts, a second, and a third. And I didn't even want to win. I just wanted to beat all of her students. And I did that. And then I just went up to her and shook her hand.
That was your big achievement?
That was totally, yeah. I was like, you said I couldn't do this, so I'm going to. So no, I definitely was not a born singer. It was something that I don't know, I guess I learned.
It wasn't one of those things where your parents and their friends were saying, oh, look at our wee Hayden, he's going to be a great performer one day?
Not really. No, I mean, my grandparents were ballroom dance teachers and stuff, and my nana would tap dance in the kitchen, but it's not really a performing family. I don't think they are. They've kind of gotten into it, well, as I've gotten into it, I guess.
Now, some people might say that you're rather versatile because...
Really?
Really. Hey, but no, you've done musicals, you've done cabaret, you've done plays, you've recorded 2 albums. So you're kind of trying your hand at a whole little different performing arts. Have you got a preference for one main focus, or do you just like doing this and doing that?
Look, I do love musical theatre. That is my true love. But I think just like anyone in their 20s, you kind of, I don't know, you try to define yourself, and like my second album was all pop music, and now I really have arrived at this place where musical theatre was always the real love, and I kind of had a maybe, you know, grandiose dreams of being a pop star at one point or being a cabaret star or whatever. I don't know. I think musical theatre is the thing that kind of culminates all of my loves into one. You know, it's acting, it's singing, it's playing dress-ups and make-believe.
Okay, but you are about to record a new album.
Yeah, but of musical theatre songs.
And I know this because you recently asked on Facebook for suggestions for the final track listing. And I want to know, have you decided what tracks you're going to record?
We have, we've got 13 tracks.
Did any of my suggestions make the cut?
I think yes, I did. I think a couple of them, actually.
Really?
I think some of them that you suggested were already on there, I think.
See, I'm pretty good at my musical theatre.
Yeah, very good. I was very impressed. Yeah, I'm kind of, I don't know whether I should list the entire track
No, keep it a surprise.
Keep it a surprise. Yeah. Well, should I give? There's some Jason Robert Brown there. There's a bit of Sondheim there. There's a bit of course, there's a bit of Les Mis there. Everything's kind of reworked, so it's not. Some of them are traditional, but some of them are very unique arrangements. The wonderful Nigel O'Brien is arranging all the music at the moment. There's some kind of cool stuff with voice. There's some African kind of tribal stuff on there. It's really eclectic.
Well, look, I remember when we spoke at a media call quite a few months back, and one of the things I asked you was what was one of the first records you bought, and you said Amy Grant.
Yes.
And so I just wondered if you'd covered any of her tracks.
I haven't covered any of hers yet. Not in this next album. That'll have to be the fourth album, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should do a duet, an Amy Grant medley duet.
You don't want to hear my singing voice, believe me. Hey, it's 30 minutes past four. More with Hayden T next, but just for you, I'm going to play Amy Grant.
Yes!
Here's Every Heartbeat on Joy. You're on Joy 94.9, 16 minutes past five on your Tuesday drive show with Jono, and I have got the lovely Hayden T in the studio with me this afternoon. Now, you've been here in Melbourne for about 6 months now, a bit longer than that.
Yeah, 6 or 7 months.
What are you enjoying most about living in the city? Because you've come from New York to Melbourne. What are you enjoying about the place?
Well, I think Melbourne's kind of like a European New York. That's how I've found it. I love the bars and the food. The food is amazing. I pretty much live at Ombra. Have you been to Ombra, the Salumi bar?
No.
Up on Bourke Street. It's amazing there. If anyone goes there, I recommend the oxtail or the beef cheek.
Might have to try that one.
Yeah.
What do you miss about New York?
You know what I miss about New York? The fact that if I want meatballs at 4 a.m, I can just go onto my phone and order it. Whatever you want in New York, whenever you want it, it's available. You know, if you want a pumpkin cheesecake any time of the day or night, you can order it. That's kind of, Melbourne does tend to close down at some time. But I love the fact that I feel really more safe than I felt anywhere in the world in New York. Isn't that strange? Mm. People think it's very dangerous, but there's so many people around that I never ever really feel like anything's ever going to go awry in that city.
Now, hey, the reason you're in Melbourne is, of course, because you're here starring in Les Mis, but you've also starred in a previous production of Les Mis. This is not your first run with Les Mis, and you've now done over 500 performances.
Yeah.
Now, look, I mean, I don't even know if I could listen to a Kylie song 500 times. So how do you keep the show exciting for you personally?
Well, the first 385 of them were Marius. It's a different role now, so that's makes it easier. I don't think I could do the same role for that length of time. I don't know. I think when you're out there, it's not really me. I just kind of step into whatever role I'm doing, and when I'm in my dressing room, I turn the tannoy off so I don't have to listen to it that many times.
But you do have to jump off a bridge every night.
I do, yeah.
And that's not really a happy ending every night.
It's really not a happy ending. No, it does take me to quite a dark place, I think. It's a very challenging role for that in that aspect, that you have to go, you know, get yourself into that darker place in order to leap off a bridge every night. But lucky for me, it's 20 minutes before the end, so I can kind of lock myself in my dressing room after and
watch a comedy show or something,
a Kylie song or an Amy Grant song and just, you know, bring Hayden back.
Well, look, you do get to manhandle Simon Gleeson every night, so it's not all
it's
bad.
It's a really hard job.
It's not all bad.
People say, why do you chase this guy for, you know, 30 years? I'm like, well, Simon Gleeson, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, look, Les Mis has got about another 5 weeks to run here in Melbourne.
Yeah, 5 weeks. We finished on December 20.
And then you're off to Perth.
Perth, yep.
And Sydney, do they give you any time off? Or?
We have a couple of days over Christmas. Well, we actually have a few days after the 20th, but we're doing Carols by Candlelight. So that's...
here in Melbourne?
Here in Melbourne, yep. So I'll be around for a few more days rehearsing for that. And then Christmas Day off, but I think I'll probably be travelling to Perth on Christmas Day or Boxing Day. So, you know, just enough time off. But I love what I do. It doesn't really feel like a job. So...
If you're enjoying it, keep doing it.
Exactly.
Do you think they're going to let you borrow the Jarve outfit for any fancy dress Christmas parties or not?
Oh, well, I'm hoping they'll just lend me the chains.
Well, I saw a picture of you with Tina Arena in the chains.
Isn't that funny?
It was very
camp.
Good. Very camp. Hey, finally, what do you think you've got in common with your character?
Oh, a little bit OCD. And I tend to be... I don't tolerate, say, unprofessionalism very well. And I think that's something that Javert, and like things are very black and white for me as well. Yeah, okay. I don't forgive easily.
Hayden is starring in the Les Mis here in Melbourne for another 5 weeks. Five more weeks of jumping off the bridge here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then off to Perth. You're playing at which theatre? I get them confused.
Her Majesty's Theatre here in Melbourne. Yep.
That's right. And if people want to find information about you, you've got your own website and you're on Facebook and all that sort of stuff, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, Twitter, at Hayden T, H-A-Y-D-E-N-T-E-E. Same with Instagram, same with Facebook, all lay social media outlets.
Look, thanks for coming into Joy once again.
Thank you for having me.
Finally got you on my show.
Yay!
Very good. And all the best for the rest of the run with Les Mis. And I look forward to your new album next year.
Awesome.
You're on Joy 94.9, 20 minutes past five with Jono.
This Joycast Podcast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.